Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is the 9th of January, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to...
you just saved my bacon.
Did I?
Yeah. By you saying the date?
Yeah.
Today's my daughter's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday,
Melissa.
Melissa, it's Melissa's birthday. Happy birthday, Melissa, and we know it'll be a magnificent one because your father's going to go out and buy you something astonishing because he's already...
What? No. I just call her and wish her a happy birthday.
Oh, well, that'll be nice, too.
It was so long ago, and you are so old, you can be forgiven for...
Yep, I'll go with that one, and I love it. Works for me.
Exactly. All right, before we get to the phones, we want to talk a little bit about our news thing of the week. It appears that Steve Ballmer's keynote address at the 2010 International Consumer Electronics Show, I cannot believe, by the way, that Rob is apparently not sending us to the show. That's just, I can't believe that.
He's waiting for NAB.
Yeah, NAB, that'll do it for us, right? Steve Ballmer's keynote address at the 2010 International Consumer Electronics Show did not unveil the rumored Microsoft Courier tablet PC. Ballmer did take the opportunity to reveal an HP tablet PC dubbed the Slate. The HP Slate was underwhelming, to say the least, hailed by Ballmer as something that almost as portable as a phone, and that's as powerful as a PC running Windows 7. The demonstration showed a flat panel computing device that seemed more equivalent to a color Kindle than to a Windows 7 Wonder tablet. Dell followed in HP's tracks, revealing details of its own Slate device. Apparently, the PC world has decided to co-opt the rumored name of the Apple tablet PC, iSlate, by adopting the term Slate to replace tablet as the default name for the flat panel form factor. Of course, HP took it a step farther by actually naming its device the Slate to further confuse things. Actually, I know what the Apple tablet name is going to be.
What would you guess it would be?
I'm not guessing. I know what it's going to be. It's going to be the Isaac. It starts with an I, and it invokes the Newton.
Yep.
It's the Isaac.
It could be the Newton 2010.
We
had the Newton 2000. That was the last major Newton platform.
Right.
So this is the Newton 2010.
No, it's going to be the Isaac.
Yeah.
Watch. See? You people remember this. It's the Isaac. The legions of Apple faithful are quick to speculate that Ballmer and HP called an audible at the line of scrimmage, not that I even know what that means, and rushed out the HP tablet primarily to try and preempt the rumored unveiling of the Apple iSlate, allegedly scheduled for later this month. With hype and speculation over the Apple tablet at a fever pitch, the Apple stock going up accordingly, perhaps Microsoft and HP thought they could steal its thunder by beating it to the punch with a tablet of their own. So it remains to be seen if the Apple iSlate or Microsoft Courier will actually materialize, but HP, Dell, Lenovo, Fusion Garage, and a plethora of other manufacturers are all lining up a diverse array of Slate-like tablet PCs to release this year. So are you hot for any sort of Slate? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And of course, go to our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And take our poll of the week, which is, are you all about the Slate? And your choices are, yes, Microsoft all the way, I'm jonesing for the iSlate, and bleh. Oh, and do they run Linux? And bleh. I forgot that one in here. So far, we have 45 votes, and bleh seems to be leading the way with do they run Linux, a distant second. When you're done with that, of course, you'll want to say more, so please take a look at the little yellow box underneath and click on the give us your opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And you can put in your opinion. The question is, how do you envision using a Slate computer? So far, there are only a couple of opinions right now, so you'll be right in there among the leaders of the opinion concept. So do that right away. And then take a look at what I do there. I have a newsletter that I put out, and tips and tricks, rants and raves, questions and answers, websites. To me, the best part about it, and well worth the $15 a year, is the fact that you can search all my previous questions and answers and rants and raves and stuff. So, and pick up some answers on your own. So that's nice. And then come back and join us at the Soundbites Forum, where we'll talk about all things Soundbitesian. Did that make any sense at all?
Huh? Does that work?
It is now.
Okay.
I suppose. Why not?
All right. No, that works.
Exactly. All right. We're going to go to the phones now.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Call back, Carl.
Absolutely. Please call back, Carl.
Well, while we juggle phones and get the next caller online.
Well, this is
So now that HP has released the Slate, who had the Slate name trademarked first? And if Apple releases theirs as the iSlate, if they can show they owned that name sooner, they may win the name game.
Right, 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 right.
So that'd be interesting to see what happens.
We'll see what happens there.
Yeah. I imagine Steve going, no, you didn't, no! Carla, who's the CEO of HP now? Because Carly's gone, right?
Carly's gone. I don't know who it is now. My call log is not coming up. I wonder why that is, do we think?
Don't know.
That can't be good.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, all right, we'll figure it out.
Pen and paper.
Pen and paper is what we're going to use. All right, then, who's our first caller? Jim. Jim is our first caller. What's your question, Jim? Jim, are you there?
See if Dave gets the buttons pushed. Yeah, the buttons are pushed.
There
we are. There you go.
Jim, start again, please, because we missed the entire first part of your question.
Okay, I have Kodak EasyShare and downloaded some kind of an update. And when I go to click on a picture, it takes up the whole screen. Is there some way that can be tweaked?
There should be at least a minimize box that will take it out of full screen mode back into windowed mode.
No, it's obliterated by the picture being when it loads, that area to go for the minimum, maximum, and X is gone.
Oh, it's full screen.
Yeah.
Wiping out your menus and controls and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a menu command to enter full screen mode versus non-full screen mode. Try escape. That will often get out of modes like that. Somewhere in the menus, there should be a menu command for full screen or view as full screen, as Nick and I are frantically Googling what that key might be to do it. Now, what is it in Word? It's Control F4 or something like that, because people get into full screen mode accidentally in Word. It takes out all your menus and all your controls just typing. So let's see if we Google EasyShare full screen key and see what we run up to. So there's got to be something about how to do that as I'm scrambling for find the key and not have any dead air here.
I was wondering if I just remove this. He had Kodak EasyShare with a regular Kodak icon, and now with the new, and it was from a Kodak website.
Yeah,
it's an icon that they use on the desktop.
It's a new feature of the Kodak software. Yeah, you could uninstall that one and try to reinstall the old version.
Yeah, would I lose my pictures?
You shouldn't. No, not unless you tell it to.
All right, I think I will try and do that because I'm not sure why it's like that.
Well, it's a feature that people like. They want to see their pictures full screen without the clutter of the menus.
Is it possible it's just that his screen is small and he needs a bigger monitor?
Well, that's what I was about to say. If he originally had a larger monitor, for example, and then if it's, like, say, a laptop and he had a bigger monitor and took that off and he's only using the one that's in the laptop, or if he had a bigger monitor and put on a smaller monitor, it may well be that the system is not properly reconfigured, and so you're not seeing the whole screen.
Yeah, the software should realize that and make the window smaller.
It should, but it often doesn't, frankly.
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm going to reinstall it. I'll try that.
Yeah, that's a good thing to try. And if anyone else knows what that key is to move into full screen mode or not,
yeah,
please.
I'm thinking I have to download it and look myself, because I don't see any help for Kodak EasyShare. The problem is that EasyShare is their name for their camera line, it's the name for their printer line, it's the name for their frame line, and the name for their software line. You can't find help on Kodak software.
Right. Tell you what, right. Stay tuned. Who knows? That's the one great thing about the Soundbite show is there's a lot of folks out there listening, and maybe they'll have an answer to this issue, so stay tuned.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So it's hiding in there somewhere. Probably if you select multiple pictures, it goes into a full screen slideshow.
Yeah, I don't know.
And now it's bugging both Nick and I, and we have to find it.
I know, it's exactly right. We do have to do that, and we will at some point.
Well, Nick, you can go into the next call. I'll keep looking.
All right, here we go. Our next caller is Carl. Carl, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm in Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Ah, Pottstown, PA.
The interesting thing is, you thought I hung up when you took your first call and nobody was there, but actually I've been on hold continuously all the time. I never called back. I never lost the line.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
Because we got a fast, busy signal, like you hung up and the line went dead.
Right.
Interesting.
Oh, well. Glad to have you on the air, though.
How are things in Pottstown?
Oh, pretty good. Everything's nice and cold here.
Right. Now, you aren't Pottsville.
No, Pottsville is about 51 miles north of me, according to Google Maps.
Well worth the trip for the Yingling, but it's not where you are.
No.
Then there's Potsdam. So this Potts guy really went around, didn't he? He had a lot of towns named after him.
Potts got around pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's your question, Carl?
Well, I subscribe to a bunch of medical newsletters. They're small newsletters, about 8 pages each in magazine format. I get them through the mail every month. And I'm about to buy a flatbed scanner, possibly a combination printer scanner. And I want to scan all of these newsletters in, and I want to convert them all to one big PDF document, not separate PDF documents, but one big searchable document. And what I want to do is add the new ones as they come in every month so the document gets bigger. And I was wondering if there's any printer scanner that you could suggest that would come with software that would enable me to turn these scans into a big PDF file.
Most of the software I've seen will do that. You tell it whether you want your successive scans to be individual images or to append them all together. And then I use a program called PDF Merge so that when you do another print job or create another PDF, you can merge it into your first PDF because the scanning may be done later when the next issue comes out.
Sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. I know that runs on the Mac. There's got to be something similar for Windows as well.
Yeah, there are a couple. What's the name of it? PDF Overlay, I think. I'm looking that up. PDF One. PDF One will do that.
So it's more a question of the software that comes with the scanners. I know I've used the Brother scanners. It has that option. The Epson scanners have that option as well. If you're going to be doing a lot of, magazines are probably bound. You can get scanners that have sheet feeders for the scan portion. So you can put individual sheets into it, hit scan, and then come back in half an hour, whatever it is. But if you're doing a bound magazine, then you got to do it one at a time on the flatbed.
Right, since they're in a magazine-type format, stapled down the middle, I'd have to cut them in half to do that.
Yep.
Right.
But most of the scanner software I've seen comes with that type of feature in it.
GhostScript will do it also. But I guess that's on either Mac or Linux.
Yeah.
It's called stitching or concatenation, I guess, but Easy Copy will do that. I believe it's myeasycopy.com is one of the programs that will do that. I'm trying to find a free one.
Yeah, PDF merge thing for the Mac is free.
So you think I'll probably have to either get this or buy this separately as opposed to just having it come with the scanner?
Well, with the scanner, when you do a scan job, it will merge all those scans into one document. And then, you know, next month when you want to do more scan jobs, it's going to give you another document.
Okay.
So each scan job can make a single document, but I don't think offhand if a new scan job at a later time can be appended to the first scan job you already did.
Right. There are PDF stitchers out there. Like I said, PDF One will do it. And that pretty much runs on everything, but it does cost money.
Okay.
I can't quickly find a free one, but there are a bunch out there.
OmniPage Pro will do it, but again, that's also...
Yeah, that's OCRing. It'll turn the image into a text file.
Right. So you can search it as text as opposed to as a PDF. But still, I don't know. I don't off the top of my head have a free one, but those both work. And if you search for PDF stitching or PDF stitch or PDF concatenation in Google, you should find a bunch.
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks for the advice.
Sure.
What about Irfan View? I know it edits. Can it merge files together?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah. So some of the editing programs designed to edit image files may be able to merge them together as well.
Right. I know Irfan View also has a bunch of plugins, but I don't know what they all are. Yeah. Certainly something to look at.
Yep.
Certainly something to look at. All right.
No,
we're not doing anything right now.
Ready for a break.
Sure. We're going to take a quick break. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray. We've got some folks on the line, including Tom, so stay on the line. We'll be with you as soon as we possibly can. But first, we're going to give you these suggestions of other things to listen to and see and do throughout the evening. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
You feel like some live jazz tonight? Then listen for the club calendar highlights with Joel Van Buren every day at 9:40 a.m., 2:40, 5:40, and 7:40 p.m. Joel gives you a sample of who's playing jazz and blues that night and where. For a more complete listing of jazz playing in our area, check out the club calendar online at jazz901.org. You'll always know where the jazz is with Jazz 90.1.
Making sure the air in your dream home is healthy for your family to breathe. Building a radon-resistant home is easy. Just ask your builder or go to epa.gov/radon.
A message from the US EPA.
Greetings, this is Mike Kincaid. Please join me for Foreground Music, Sundays 3 to 5 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Okay, folks, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Coming up, I believe it was on January 26th, Otto Bruno started here on Jazz 90.1. And he's celebrating 10 years with Jazz 90.1. Hard to believe that he's been around this long. They let him stay this long. Well, to do this, they're going to have a live broadcast. They're going to more or less do an open house on January 24th from 11 to 4. Otto will broadcast in front of a live audience, you know, over in the luxurious library. So you can get tickets. But you got to call the station starting on Monday. And for any Jazz members, you know, you can go ahead and get the tickets for free. Any non-members, it's going to be $10 to steal at any rate. And you're going to want to listen to the hilarity right there up front and close. It's your one time to actually see Otto do his shtick and get in on the fun. So again, call Monday, starting Monday, January 11th, they're going to start getting tickets out. So if you call 966-2660 and get in on the fun, because the seating is going to be limited. You know, the library is only so big. And if you're part of the group there, you're going to want to definitely get the tickets and get in early. So with that, you don't want to miss it. And let's go back to a little sound bites.
All right, welcome back, everybody.
Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
Choked you up a little bit,
choked
didn't it?
Choked you up a little bit, yeah, here.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are back on the line. We have Tom. What?
Well, before we get to that, I've downloaded EasyShare.
Okay.
It's EasyShare version 6 for Mac, version 7 for Windows, so it may be a little different. Apparently, when you double-click a photo, it's supposed to go full screen. That is the feature in EasyShare. And you get a little control ribbon at the bottom. So if you don't want to see it full screen, don't double-click it. There's also a command key, command L, on the Mac, which is probably Control L on
right.
Windows, that toggles between full screen mode and windowed mode. So inside the Easy Share pane, there's a slider bar so you can see the pictures bigger and smaller. But if you double click on it, that tells Easy Share to open it in a full screen window. So it's doing as it's supposed to do.
But Control L should.
Control L or click the done button should take you back.
And how do you make it just smaller?
You change the slider magnifier.
Oh, before
magnifier.
You open the
right.
The
right. Right. When you double click a picture, it's supposed to go into full screen. If you just want to see the picture bigger, drag the magnifier slider bigger.
There you go. And that's for Jim, who was our first caller and looking for that information. All right, excellent. Our next caller is Tom. Where are you calling from, Tom?
I'm calling from Pennfield. How are you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Pretty good. I got a new notebook, HP notebook for Christmas with Windows 7 Home Premium on it. And I used that for a couple days, and it was working very well. But my daughter-in-law also gave me a disk with the new Ubuntu Karmic 9.10.
Yeah.
So I put that on my computer, and I've got a dual boot situation, and I've been using Ubuntu, and that's been working great, except for the last update. I've done a couple of updates since I've had the operating system on, and the last one, when I shut the computer down and came back in again, it wouldn't allow me to bring up Ubuntu. It's just a comment. I wonder if anybody else has had that situation happening.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it has. And what you need to do is to go into the boot manager and change HD01 to HD02. And I realize that's a... What?
I actually did that. I went back into Windows and went on the Internet and went to some of the forums. And I got enough information where I went to the grub and typed in some instructions about 2 feet long.
Right.
I went to a terminal window and did change HO1 to HD02 to get the system to boot. So I did solve the problem. My question is, when I get the update windows now, I'm not really sure, you know, it to accept or not to accept, or you know what I'm saying? I haven't got very much experience with Ubuntu, and I'm a little bit nervous about doing the updates now since I had this problem.
Well, the theory is they have fixed that problem. One of the things that actually came down at some later point was a fix for that. So
this just happened a couple of days ago.
Right. And they fixed it fairly quickly from what I'm given to understand. I did not have that problem because I don't do a boot. So I can't promise you that it's been done. But one of the things I would do is I would take a look at the Ubuntu forums. And check for that very problem, like can't boot after update. And I'm pretty sure, I just read this the other day, that yesterday maybe, probably, because it's only a couple of days old, that they had in fact fixed that now.
Okay. But fixing it, I mean, if you can't get your system up, my question is, what do I do the next time I get a window that comes up for updates? Should I ignore some of those updates that have to do with, like a grub or the kernel, should I bypass those? Or, you know, I don't want to get into the problem again where I can't get into the operating system.
No, I absolutely understand that. What I would do, honestly, what I would do is I would check the forums before I do the updates.
Okay.
You know, not do it. Don't be the pioneer.
Yeah, all right.
And then wait a day or two, check the forums, see what they have to say, and then decide whether or not to do the update.
I got a couple other questions, if you have time.
Sure, go ahead.
I love my iPod. You know, that's one of the main reasons I use the computer. And I haven't really found anything in Ubuntu for the iPod that will serve as well as iTunes. So what I'm doing is going back to Windows 7 and bringing up iTunes for my iPod, you know, work, and then going back to Ubuntu for everything else. And I'm wondering if there's an application or something that I can use my iPod in Ubuntu exclusively instead of going back to Windows 7.
Yes. If you bring up, under applications, if you bring up add remove programs, go to sound and video, the Rhythmbox music player.
I have that.
should read your iPod.
Yeah, it didn't really. I had some difficulty with that. I don't know what the deal is with that, but it didn't seem to do it for me. I'll go back and try it again.
I've also found a couple of links from the Linux Journal and from the Ubuntu forums themselves on how to use an iPod with Ubuntu.
There used to be, and I'm looking to see if it's still there.
GTK Pod,
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the question is it worthwhile? Because I have to go to the iTunes store to purchase music, and I can't really do that in Ubuntu. So is it a situation that really because of the fact that you purchase music through iTunes, and that comes up
well,
in Windows,
you don't,
I'm really kind of stuck with going back to Windows 7?
Right. You don't actually have to use iTunes.
Yeah.
You can buy MP3 files, you know, as long as they're DRM unencumbered.
Yeah.
You can buy MP3 files from all kinds of places.
You can buy physical CDs and rip them yourself.
Right, including Amazon and you know, a bunch of other places.
I've been going to the store now for most of my new music, though.
Yeah.
So
well,
I'm going to probably have to go back to Windows 7 and
yes.
use iTunes because that's what I'm... You know, basically doing is going to the store to buy music to download my iPod.
Yeah, the Amazon store should work under Ubuntu, shouldn't it?
Yeah, well, it does.
Yeah.
Maybe
but
I'll give that a try.
The iTunes store really does require either Windows or, oddly,
my
a Mac.
Mac. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm kind of stuck with going back to Windows just for that because I use my iPod. And I have one more question.
Very quickly. We have other people to get to.
The one thing I'm trying to do is back up Ubuntu to my F drive on my network, and I have to have my MS Home password in order to get to that drive.
Right.
And I don't know what my MS Home password is. I set it up so long ago. am I opposed there?
That I am afraid I cannot help you with. I mean, if you don't know the password, there's very little that can be done to help you. But on the other hand, what you might want to think about doing is if you've got Ubuntu 9.10, you've also got Ubuntu 1.
Yes, right. I got that now.
So if you use Ubuntu 1, basically you can set that up to automatically back up. Obviously, you don't want to back up your operating system and stuff, but you want to back up your documents.
My data and my files, right?
Exactly. And you can use Ubuntu 1 to back those up to the cloud.
Oh.
And that way, Ubuntu 1 actually gives you space on Ubuntu servers.
And where are they?
All over the world.
Do I have to pay for that?
No, up to a point. I think they give you a certain amount for free, and then the other is and then if you go beyond that, then you can pay.
Okay.
But as long as you're only backing up your documents and you know, obviously pictures are going to be a problem, but if you're backing up your own documents.
And there's also Dropbox, which gives you 2 gigabytes for free, and then you pay if you want more than that.
Probably all I would need for the computer.
Yeah, and that synchronizes between Mac, Windows, Linux, and the iPhone. So if you're a cross-platform user, you can get to all of your documents from any platform.
And what was that called again?
Dropbox.
Dropbox.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm having fun anyways. I'm having fun with Ubuntu and learning some stuff, and it's been great.
That's what it's all about?
So basically, yep. Ubuntu 1 gives you 2 gigabytes for free. If you want more space, you can get 50 gigabytes for just $10 a month. And that all lives on the cloud. So what happens if your machine ever dies and you buy a new one, you go into Ubuntu 1, you use your password, which you have to remember, and then you can download all your documents again.
Yep.
And Ubuntu worries about backing them up and all that other hoo-ha, so you don't have to.
I'll try that out then.
Go for it.
Thank you very much. I've got a lot of information today, and enjoy the rest of your day.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
And tell a friend.
All righty. Well, that was kind of interesting. We would prefer people stuck to one at the most two questions per call, so that we can get to other people as we do have some other people on the line. So
you can always call back and get in line again.
That's exactly right. Our next caller is Tom. This better be a different Tom. Tom, where are you calling from?
From Rochester.
All right, you can talk then. Go ahead.
quick question. Sometimes when I'm running three applications, if I have, it doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally, if I have Outlook Express, Internet Explorer, and Excel open, and I'll check my email, like I'll close down Outlook Express, work on Internet Explorer and Excel, and then if I go back, Outlook Express, the program disappears. I can't. It's not in the program listing. If I hit the icon on my desktop, it doesn't.
But if you reboot, it comes back.
And then when I finally close down, I get a note which says end program, direct DB notify WND PROC. It says this program is not responding.
So much for Outlook Express.
That's
one of my New Year's resolutions is to do go to Mozilla.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely go to Thunderbird.
What that is an internal piece of Windows. It notifies a window that you want to use it. And apparently that process is dying. Now, there's no easy way to fix that.
Okay.
You could.
Yes, there is. It's just called go to Thunderbird.
Yeah, okay.
Well, but if that problem is coming from the operating system, it may not do it.
But if he stops using that application, I'd be curious to see if that issue just goes away.
Yeah, I would too. Itself. So that's the first thing to try.
Okay.
If that doesn't work, you can always reinstall Windows over Windows.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you want to be very careful when you do that. But that could help.
Okay. It seems like it only happens when I have those three applications open. You know, the Outlook Express, Internet Explorer, and Excel.
Two out of three ain't bad for messing up your machine.
Well, and the irony is, it's Microsoft Windows, it's three of Microsoft programs, and they don't work together.
But if I have Word open and not Excel, it never happens. And it doesn't happen all the time. Maybe once a month, if that.
And you're dancing the tango.
Yes, yeah.
Good.
I mean, not as often as I should, but I do it.
Okay.
It's probably just a typical memory leak between those three programs.
Okay.
Could be.
And the DirectDB Notify, was that Windows Procedures? That's just, you said it's an internal notification?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
That end program notice that I get when I close down the computer.
Yep.
Where it says end program direct DB notify WND PROC, where that program is not responding. What program is that?
Well, that notify Windows process is an internal piece of code that is part of Windows that tells a window, and I realize that now we're confusing because Microsoft can't think of names for their operating system. It tells a window that you want to bring it to the front and use it.
Okay.
What that really means is that the program is actually trying to run somewhere in the background. It just can't get to the front.
Okay. Like I said, when I hit the start button and hit programs, Outlook Express is not even on the list.
So I understand that.
Yeah.
But that's all part of the same thing.
Alrighty.
Some of the searches I'm finding are pointing to a damaged DBX file in your Outlook database. If you see, where is it? The Outlook Inbox Repair Tool. Is that still hiding in there somewhere?
Should be.
Yeah. In one of the menu commands somewhere, there's an Inbox Repair Tool. Let me see if we can find where that is. That will scan your Outlook database and try to repair any damage there may be in that database. One of the annoyances in Microsoft's mail programs, Outlook Express on Windows and even Entourage on the Mac, is it stores all your mail in one giant database file.
Mm-hmm.
And if any little bit gets corrupted, you can lose access to your mail. It can cause the mail program to crash trying to read that corrupted database file.
Okay.
Most of the other mail programs, Thunderbird, Apple Mail, keep each message as a separate file, mm-hmm. so that if one message gets corrupted, you can easily delete that one message.
Okay. And if I switch over to Thunderbird, and if I use Revo to eliminate the Outlook Express?
No, just leave it alone.
Just leave it there?
Yeah, okay. It's so integrated with Windows, it's forget it.
Okay, all right.
All right.
So, okay, thank you very much for your help.
Yep.
Bye.
All right. Sorry, I was trying to fix something. I don't know what you're pointing at. I have no idea what you're pointing at.
Just do news. We're coming up on a break shortly. So.
All right. Lenovo, PC maker Lenovo, introduced LePhone. on January 5th, its first major smartphone geared toward U.S. audiences. The phone runs Google's Android operating system. Qualcomm's Snapdragon chipset packs in WCDMA-based 3G, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS connectivity, and has a particularly slim frame. The display is quite large, 3.7 inches with a resolution of 800 by 400. Includes gesture-based navigation. In all, it's an oblong slab of a phone. Phone Scoop reports that a 3-megapixel camera, a 3.5 millimeter audio jack, and integrated Twitter and Facebook apps are all on board. The phone is expected to launch in China in the first half of the year. Lenovo has made phones for the Asian market before. They just haven't been as well publicized or as competitive. What they launched yesterday has many of the same high-end features as Google's Nexus One by HTC. It's a bit thicker, but still feels good in your hand as it is nicely rounded. In November, PC maker Dell announced they're joining the smartphone race with the introduction of the Mini 3, a touchscreen-based phone that also runs the Android OS. The Mini 3 debuted in China as well, and it's headed to Brazil. The difference between Dell's announcement and Lenovo's, of course, is that Dell was able to secure a U.S. carrier distribution. The Lenovo phone is still aimed just at China. On January 6th, AT&T announced that it would bring the Mini 3 to the U.S. in the first half of 2010, and that the offering would be exclusive. Analysts have called Dell's success in the smartphone space a matter of managing expectations. They've established a brand, they make a good product, and if they target it properly, there's no reason they can't do well. The same appears to apply to Lenovo. HP, of course, the leading holder of global PC market share, followed by Acer, a very close behind at Dell, then Lenovo. So Lenovo's move up into fourth place is a significant one because they ranked eighth in 2003. So here's the question. It's a smartphone. Would you buy a smartphone from Dell or even Lenovo? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 1-800-790-0415. Now, I'm a fan of Lenovo products. My netbook is a Lenovo.
Didn't Dell already make a smartphone for a while and gave up on it? The Axiom, was it?
That was not a smartphone. That was a PDA.
Oh, PDA. So a phone without a phone in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now what we call a PDA has turned into a smartphone. They added telephone features to a typical PDA function.
Right.
Rob is over there shoving a screwdriver into a hole on a live electrical device.
Yeah, we don't know what he's doing, but whatever it is, he's... keep watching the camera, folks, because it could get really interesting.
He's fixing my mic. I'm getting louder in my own head. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we heard that about you.
That must be very scary.
Rob comes in on Saturday just to be with us. I know he does.
He misses us.
He misses us. He used to, you know, he used to be with us every Saturday, whether we wanted him or not. And
he just loves us.
If whoops could kill, I would be crispy.
I think he keeps hoping for more rum balls.
I know it. That's it. That's what he's thinking about. He just wants the rum balls. Yeah.
Hey,
That's all it is.
I just got stereo in my head.
That's a scary
thought. I just got loud. All right. This is great. We have Rob coming in to play with us. It's always a joy to have Rob here.
You know, maybe we should mention about last night, you know, with Second Life and that.
Or not.
After the commercial.
After the commercial break, we'll talk about all of that.
Okay. Feels good to direct again. You know?
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. You stay tuned.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Here's what people are saying about Jazz 90.1.
I'm really enjoying your program tonight. Thank you so much for playing live jazz on the radio.
I'm an old jitterbug lady, now 83, who still enjoys all that great music.
I want to thank you for supporting local talent.
What you do is great, man. I really think you got a good station. I am so glad that Progressive Radio is still alive. Progressive Radio lives, and God bless you.
Hi, I'm ecstatic that Soundbites found a new home on Jazz. I thank you, and I love you guys.
Hi, I'm listening to your station tonight, and it's absolutely fantastic. The string of songs you're playing are absolutely great.
I enjoy all of your hosts.
Enjoy your station a great deal. It's really cool. I think your jazz station is one of the best I've ever heard. It's really great.
I finally found a station, and I like their music, and I hope you never go out of business.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. Thank you to all of our members and listeners for supporting Great Jazz Radio, Jazz 90.1.
As a college student, I'm making sure to get the H1N1 flu vaccine. You see, if you're my age, the threat of this year's flu season is very real because young adults are particularly vulnerable to serious complications from the H1N1 flu virus. That's why I'm urging people my age to get vaccinated. Vaccination is safe and is the most effective way to prevent the flu. Get the facts. Go to flu.gov. Together, we can all fight the flu.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sid O'Connor. Join me Sunday mornings from 7 until noon right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Yay! I sound really weird now. So does Nick.
All right, so we're back.
Whatever you did made it worse.
Rob comes in and plays. He doesn't have enough. He really doesn't have enough to do, apparently, during the week. He's got to come in on Saturdays. He just wants to be with us. He's looking for the rumbles. He just wants to come and play.
Yep. You know, and you sitting there announcing his name.
That's right. Rob Linton. I don't get to say it often enough anymore, unfortunately. Do people still come up to you and say, hey, you're Rob Linton?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course they do. You're far too well known now, Rob. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Before we go on any farther, we have something fairly painful to talk about. Those of you who were in Second Life last night already knows this, but our friend Lolly, who's been in Second Life forever, and also in the forums for the longest time, was unexpectedly taken from us at the beginning of the year. And it was very sad. We'll have further details up on the website at some point. But she was a friend of the show and a wonderful human being, and we're very, very sorry. It's a hole in all our lives. And we'll put a little something up on the website. But one of the things she asked, and I think it behooves us to pass it on.
Please.
She said that anybody who feels the need should, in lieu of anything else for her or family or anything else, should contribute to the station, to Jazz 90.1.
She loved us so much.
She loved us and the show, and it was a big part of her life.
And I would say, you know, for folks that have any doubt in that, take a moment and go over to the links page. And there is what? There's got to be at least 8 pages full of posters.
Right, of which Lolly was a big part.
And Lolly was a huge part of those posters, you know, putting stuff up. And you'll get a laugh out of it, folks, what some folks did with us, the four of us,
Rob,
and even all five of us, actually. It was mainly Rob, Lolly, and us three were being interpreted into these various posters. And she's done a number of them. And, you know, you'll get a good laugh out of it, you know, and that's how much she cared, and she was always posting on some of the boards and adding her comments and all that, and she always made me laugh.
She always made all of us laugh.
Yeah,
and so
great time.
This is your chance to honor her memory, and what she asked was that you contribute to Jazz 90.1. So,
because she loved us.
You can do that right online, jazz901.org. There's a contribute button there. You can click on that and be part of the... of the remembrance, so that would be kind of nice. She was taken from us unexpectedly, so this is our chance to say something nice about her by doing that for her. I think it's nice that she asked us to do that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dan. Dan, where are you calling from?
Webster,
New York. Is life, in fact, worth living there, Dan?
Oh, it's wonderful here, yes.
Okay. Are you paid to say that? Do Webster people get some sort of break on their taxes? No,
it's required when you sign a lease or purchase a home. It's required
by
law.
Oh, very nice. All right. So what's your question, Dan?
I've had an intermittent problem for a long time, and I just thought maybe you could give me some clue. Every once in a while, when I reboot the computer, which I don't do very often, my computer's on 24 hours a day, you know, it gets up and it shows the first screen with a little bar running back and forth, and then it gets to where it's going to actually say I'm starting Windows, but it doesn't start Windows, it just goes black. And after a lot of experimenting, I found that if I use I've got a partition command or repair disk, I put that in and set the C drive to be inactive and then put it back to active again, and then restart the computer, it starts up great, and it may run like they work okay for a couple of weeks, and then one day I'll go to reboot, and it'll do the same thing again.
How often do you back up your documents?
All the time.
Good, because your hard drive is probably dying.
Well, that's what I've thought, but I've had this with three different hard drives, which are all three still working.
Well, then in that case, it's the computer itself.
Yeah, and the same computer could be the hard drive controller.
Have you been putting them in the same computer? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I put this computer together, I think 3 years ago.
Yeah, what it sounds like is the hard drive controller, which is, unfortunately for you, a part of the motherboard.
Right.
Is where the real problem seems to be lying. So what you're going to have to do, I'm afraid, is to probably replace that motherboard. I mean, you can get a
PCI controller and put it in one of the
slots.
That's true.
Yeah,
you could try
either that or just keep every few weeks stick in repair CD.
Well, at some point soon, that's not going to work anymore.
Do you have SpinRite? SpinRite is a diagnostic program that can scan through hard drives and fix any block errors, and it does some real magic on repairing damage to hard drives. It's about $80 for the program, so it's not something average people typically use themselves, but we use it in the service shops. It might be something you want to look at to see if there is anything wrong with the hard drives, but it would be an unusual coincidence that you have three failing hard drives.
This computer has the SATA hard drives, but it also has a port for the, I guess it was intended for the DVD. When I first built it, I put in the hard drive for my old computer.
E-port.
And then eventually I got one of the serial port hard drives. And I thought the hard drive had a problem. I was afraid it was going back, so I got another hard drive. And all three of the hard drives did the same thing. I say it doesn't happen all that often, but I just thought since I listen to you guys all the time, I'd give you a call and see if there was any clue as to what was going on. But you're pretty. It sounds like you're sure it's something on the motherboard itself, the hard drive controller on the motherboard.
Yeah, that's pretty clearly. If you've tried
IDE
multiple
and
hard drives,
SATA drives both don't work. Yeah, that's pointing to the controller. Now, there's no connection between the IDE, which is the parallel ATA controller, and the SATA ATA controller, is there? Even though they're both ATA.
I don't think so.
So that's odd that they
would
both.
There's probably some chip or other that's in common.
Doing both, yeah.
Or
at the very least,
it could be the DMA on the motherboard itself. That literally is the brains of it, and it's controlling the functions between the two. If the DMA is going on the motherboard, then you could have some problems.
But you know what here, Dan? It doesn't matter which piece it is. You still got to replace the motherboard, or you got to put in a separate card. But if it's the DMA, that may not help.
Yeah. Okay. I think I'll just live with it until it breaks forever.
Fails completely,
when it does, you're in some trouble, because if you haven't done whatever your last backup was, you better hope it was just before it broke.
Yep. Well, I have multiple
partitions, I'm just saying.
And I have an external hard drive that every few days I back up all my non-program partitions. I have an off-site backup that backs it up every night, and I've got a memory disk that I back up all the critical stuff onto every night.
So sounds like you're covered.
Then you should be covered.
I'm pretty sure that I'm not going to lose anything that's too critical if the computer just totally died.
Yep.
Right.
But trying those same drives in another computer would be something to try. Although if it takes 2 weeks for the problem to occur, that's annoying.
It's just, sometimes it'll do it in a couple. Part of it is, unless I'm doing something like when Windows or Microsoft decides they need to put in a update that needs a reboot, or if I install some software that needs a reboot. Other than that, the computer rarely gets rebooted. So,
right.
But I have been doing some stuff recently, and it just happened again, in 2 days apart, which is what prompted me to give you a call. It's always at an annoying time when it happens.
Right, right.
Yeah, we joke that they know when the worst time to fail is, and so that's the time
they
pick.
It seems that way, yes.
Yep.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just have to live with it then.
All righty.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, that's, you know, I hate to say it, but that's the way it works sometimes. You just, you got your problems and you live with what you got. All righty.
Hurts when I do that, so don't do that.
So don't do that, right. So, yeah, we have...
And it's so very frustrating because we rely on our computers so well.
Yeah.
And so much. Oh, you'll like this, Dave. I helped a customer yesterday set up a new computer.
Yeah.
Brand new Mac in a doctor's office, and he's still using a DOS program for his billing.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, believe it or not.
So we're running DOS inside Windows, inside a virtual machine, because you can't buy a DOS disk anymore.
Right,
yeah.
On his Mac. And then he tells me, well, yeah, the DOS program uses Procom to dial the modem to upload his billing information.
But isn't he going to be forced out of that procedure? I mean,
most computers don't come with modems anymore. You can still get USB modems.
Most of the medical places are now doing it electronically.
IP, yeah,
you know, that you just tap it, and it's no more modem. Yeah. It's literally over the internet.
This software has been working fine for him for years. He currently sees no reason to upgrade.
Well, I had
so when his billing company stops accepting dial-up data, he'll have to upgrade.
Which isn't going to be too long, I would imagine.
Of course, you know about FreeDOS. FreeDOS.org. Yeah. It's a free DOS compatible operating system, so you can get your old 486s or 386s or whatever you want, and you can actually run FreeDOS as opposed to an old DOS. So they could actually set up a machine with FreeDOS on it and then run whatever else they want.
I mean, what was it, DOS 6.2?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was pretty stable, that version of DOS. I remember going through so many iterations of DOS.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were with 2.1... And, you know, then into the 3s, and then the 4.0 was okay, and then the 4.1, and then 4.2.2 came out, and that was pretty stable. And then 5 added some other things. And it's, you know, then going finally to 6.
PC DOS 7 that everyone ignored.
Remember the big joke was always you had to wait for an even version?
Exactly.
It was always the... Because any odd one, like Windows 3, DOS 3.1, I remember, there was a lot of issues. And I remember back in the day, we'd sit there and say, well, it's got to be an even number. Because the even number DOS has always worked well.
Right. And then, of course, once you've got FreeDOS, you can go to fdisk.com and get all kinds of things that will let you get on the internet, web browsers and all that stuff for you know, email and everything else right from DOS. So you could actually, I actually did this with an old a laptop at work. It was a 386 with like 64 mega RAM. I mean, it had nothing on it. And I actually got it working with FreeDOS and then put links on it. I put Arachne on it, which is a graphical browser for DOS, and I could get to, of course, by just having DOS and the browser, I could get to Gmail and all of that stuff. I had trouble with Flash, but
everyone does.
For everything else, it worked actually pretty nicely. So it's pretty neat. There's also Open World Navigator. There's WebBoy, which is actually pretty cool. I've been planning on playing with that, but who's got time anymore? And Skipper, of course, but I remember Skipper. That was the New Deal operating system. Originally Geos. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Whoa, that's going back.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. New Deal is still out there. New Deal Inc. Not anymore.
Was that Teddy Roosevelt?
I lied about that. It was a New Deal. Yeah, it was one of the Roosevelts. Anyway, that's there's some pretty interesting stuff out there. I got to say, it's pretty neat. If you're still a DOS fan, you can still get a lot of stuff from FreeDOS for DOS. If you've got an old system and you don't feel like making that leap to Linux, which really you should, because even on the same processor you run damn small Linux or Puppy Linux, and you get a whole lot more than you get out of DOS. Feel more comfortable in DOS.
Well, I just had one client literally just got a brand new Windows 7 machine, and the first words out of his mouth, because it was it's a Pentium 4 machine, but it was one of the first Pentium 4s coming out,
right?
And he's got the 512 mega memory in it. And I think it only had like an 80 gig hard drive, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, I guess now I can play with Linux.
Exactly.
This is going to be my playtime. If it messes up, oh, well, no big problems. He says, exactly, I won't be destroying anything, and I won't get in trouble with the wife.
See how it works? That's exactly right. That is exactly the way it should work. And it's interesting because we have a lot of, I know a lot of people who are doing that, taking their old machines and playing around with the old machines under Linux. And they're finding that it's easy to use and it's fun to use and there's a lot of pretty neat stuff you can do with it. So, you know, if you've got that old machine sitting around, or if you just want to get the live CD, which means you put the CD in, reboot, and you're in Linux, but it doesn't change your operating system. If you take the CD out and reboot again, you're back in Windows. You can learn to play with Linux and see what you like and don't like and how interesting it is to you. And that'll work. All right, we're going to take another break. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, I don't know why you're not, because we've got a whole other hour of the show to get through, and you can help us by calling us, 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. Right here on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, snacks, comfy chairs, and an internet connection. It's the USO To Go program, and it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as a link with the American people. Find out how you can help. Visit us at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Supporting Jazz 90.1 is as simple as 1, 2, 3. 1. Decide how much listening to Jazz 90.1 is worth to you, considering the great jazz music, live DJs, live jazz information, local traffic and weather. 2. Call 966-5299 or visit jazz901.org and make a pledge. 3. Sit back and enjoy the good feeling you get from keeping jazz on the radio, alive and well in Rochester on Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Rochelle Lefebvre, and this year I adopted a great dog named Honey. Now I'm working with Best Friends Animal Society to end puppy mills, where millions of breeding dogs suffer only to supply pet stores with puppies. You can help, too, by not adding to the demand for pet store puppies. When searching for your next best friend, do what I did. Adopt. Don't shop. To find out more, visit Best Friends Animal Society at puppiesaren'tproducts.com or bestfriends.org.
Every day, we make sure we get things done to keep ourselves on track, to live the way we want to live. And every day, we make choices, large and small, that reflect who we are, from the clothes we buy to the car we drive to where we choose to live. If you enjoy Jazz 90.1, make the choice to become a member. And once a year, renew that membership. See how it feels. It just might be one more small but important choice you make to live the way you want to with Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And at 2 minutes after
the
hour,
old days,
we are Soundbites. The whole crew back together.
It's cozy
again. There
in
we
here.
Go. Now he's happy. Look at him. He's got. We need more. We need more stuff on the soundboard. The Three Stooges thing. All of those.
Oh, yes.
All
See
of that
you can
stuff.
Find that for me.
I will. I will. In the meantime, Steve has a whole lot more to say about the possibility of the Isaac.
Yeah, the Isaac. I kind of like that. The Isaac Newton. One thing that's interesting is that a lot of the different companies, the rumors are that they're waiting to see what Apple's going to do before they release their tablet to see if how they can differentiate it from Apple, you know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And it was interesting that all the stuff announced at CES, four or five companies released tablets, four or five companies were releasing smartphones and ebook readers. You know, it really looks like it's going to be the year of the ebook reader tablet, PC. Most of the press was, let's see what Apple's going to do. So, Microsoft's tablet announcement is being overshadowed by the Apple tablet, and HP came out with a tablet that Microsoft showed off, which is really ironic. If Microsoft is making their own tablet, why would they be showing in other companies? Which sort of makes you think that, Microsoft is a software company, may not be doing a tablet. They may be partnering with other people for the software itself. But it's just really interesting, and I read one blog this week where the blogger was saying, "Oh, the Apple tablet's never going to work. It's too expensive, and it doesn't do what people want." Well, how do you know? It hasn't been released yet. So then there were a whole bunch of blogs countering on that. This guy is predicting the doom of a tablet that doesn't exist yet, and how does he know? And what's actually going to come out? What's going to happen? And a lot of the blogs are doing contests for who's going to guess the right name, and several different blogs are offering prizes for whoever guesses the right name. And now that, as we mentioned earlier, that the HP Slate has come out, that may preclude Apple from using iSlate, even if they own the trademark first. So it's interesting to see what's going to happen. And we also read that the Kindle DX is now going to be sold outside of the U.S. And that's a big thing in the consumer electronics world, is that there's the U.S. and then there's everywhere else. And that most U.S.-based companies, they'll get, say, half of their revenue from the U.S. and half from the rest of the world. So they really have to make products that can be accessed in the rest of the world. And the one really neat thing about the Kindle is its tie into the Kindle Store, where you can have that cellular broadband right in the Kindle, and you can go in the Kindle Store and buy stuff on your Kindle anywhere you want. And that's what a lot of the analysts have said has been the success of the iPod, iPhone, iPod Touch, is that the iTunes Store, Apple has made it so easy to integrate your media with your device, is that you can go on the iTunes Store and be able to easily purchase content. That's really what has set the iPod apart, because there were other music players, MP3 players before that. There were, and there have been since that. But it's sort of that integration between the hardware and the software that has been Apple's forte for a long time. Is that enough? So it's all a wait and see game. The latest rumors now are that Apple is going to announce something on January 27th that the Yorba Linda Conference Center, which is where they typically do those types of announcements in San Francisco, I think, or maybe actually in Cupertino itself.
Right.
Probably in Yorba Linda.
Probably in Yorba Linda. I was about to say, yeah.
They have a corporate event booked, and they're not saying who booked it, so everyone's saying it's got to be Apple. Other big rumors is that some sort of an Apple TV update with streaming content. Right now, as we mentioned on the iTunes Store, you can buy and rent music and you can buy music, you can rent TV shows and movies, you can buy TV shows and movies. But the TV shows you have to wait until the day after they air. With movies, you have to wait till the DVDs are released. There's a lot of speculation and reports of talks with Disney and NBC and some of the other content providers that Apple may be coming out with a streaming service similar to Hulu, which streams current TV shows, on Netflix, which will stream released movies. So it's always up in the air what Apple's going to announce, and all of the rumors may be true. Who knows what they're actually going to announce?
Right.
Yep.
And Theosis reminds me that it may well be that Isaac is taken. Of course, Zach was the bartender on the Love Boat.
Isaac. Yeah.
No, Zach. Was the bartender on the Love Boat, and
no, it was Isaac.
It was Isaac.
That's
yeah.
What I said, isn't it?
No. Yeah.
Oh no, it's Isaac. But on Futurama, they have an Isaac.
Yep. Is their drinks robot. Yeah.
Right. And of course, the actual Isaac.com is owned by a guy named John Isaac in San Diego. So I don't quite know what that all means in terms of that. But I'm sticking by it. It's going to be called the Isaac. I don't care what anybody says. I think it's the best name for it.
Cool.
There's also a commune named Isaac in southwestern France.
Well, there you go. All right. Our next caller is Micah. Micah, where are you calling from?
Saginaw, Texas.
Where?
Texas.
Texas.
Where in Texas?
Saginaw, right next to Fort Worth.
Saginaw next to Fort Worth.
Yeah.
How's the weather down there?
Cold.
Cold?
Cold.
What, it's like 70?
No. It's around like 30.
Wow.
Ooh, that is cold.
It is cold. All right, what's your question, Micah?
Is there any way I would be able to listen to it down here in Texas?
To the show?
Yeah.
There are two ways you can do it. One, well, three ways. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. You can always, of course, download the podcast, but that's not live. Live, you can listen at jazz901.org, which is the station that that broadcasts this. They have a streaming audio thing, so you can listen live on your computer right through that.
And we have 83 people currently listening live on the internet.
Right. In addition, you can always go to your public radio station and ask them to carry us and find out why they're not, for Pete's sake.
Okay.
And that's really
that'd be great
to do. We would love to be on yet more stations, but it requires people coming in and saying, "Listen, here's some of the shows, and take a listen and see what they're like, and find a place on your schedule for it."
Okay.
So there you go.
Yep. So on the jazz901.org website, in the upper right corner, there's a listen live button, and that lets you listen live. You do need an MP3 streaming program, like iTunes or Windows Media Player, that will then stream the show live to your computer.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Thanks, Micah.
And you can listen to all the great jazz and regular shows during the week.
I know. That's what a bonus.
Yep.
The jazz shows on this station, I must tell you, for those of you who are jazz, for those of you who are not jazz fans, for those of you who are, you already know this, but for those of you who are not, there's some incredible DJs in this place who really, really know their jazz and really know what they're doing. And listening to them, you get, it's not just the joy of jazz, it's also the education of jazz. It's really amazing stuff. So give them a listen. All right, we're going to go on to our next caller. Betty, where are you calling from, Betty?
I'm calling from Fairport.
How are things in Fairport?
Snowy, very pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty, I understand, but I'm shocked that it's snowing in Fairport.
Yeah, really.
All right.
I'm sure you are. And where are you?
We're in Greece. So, you know, we're so much farther away that it's hard to know what's going on that far away.
Yeah, seriously.
So what's your question, Betty?
I have a question about Computer Associates Internet Security Suite.
Yes.
2007, the free version that we get from Roadrunner.
Yes.
And if I can, I'd like to refer to your column that was in the most recent DNC.
You certainly may.
Talking about somebody had written in saying that they uninstalled and they saw a lot of problems go away. At home, we have a laptop and a desktop. And over the last several weeks, we've noticed a serious slowing down of opening applications, using Windows Explorer. Even when you launch something or start a new mail node or something, it'll just like take a long time for it to actually activate.
Yep.
So after reading this column this morning, I thought I'd do an experiment and uninstall Computer Associates software. And immediately, I uninstalled it. Immediately, everything started working so much better.
Yep. You do need to have an antivirus program.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, the reason the computer's running slower is that your antivirus program is scanning your files, making sure there's no viruses.
Right.
So that's now, the trade-off.
Let's solve your immediate problem. You need an antivirus program.
Right.
Avast at avast.com.
Okay.
Has a free version. Now, you need to be very careful. They also have a $30 version.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you get the free version.
Okay.
Unless
they will do their best to. I encourage people to pay because obviously it helps keep the program coming, right? But at the very least, you want to make sure that if you're going for the free version, make sure you get the free version.
Okay.
Read everything carefully before you click on anything.
Okay.
To make sure you're getting the free version. There's also Panda, Panda Soft or Panda Security, I forget where it is, that I've been experimenting with, which is pretty nice. Now, let me hasten to say that the Computer Associates Security Suite is excellent. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just that it's not designed for machines that don't have massive amounts of memory and very fast processors.
Oh, okay.
So if if your machine is not at the high end, you may find that Computer Associates slows it down.
Okay.
Whereas Avast and a couple of the others are designed to run on lower end machines. So they don't take up as much of a problem. Now you still get the same kind of protection.
Mm-hmm.
It just does it more in the background, maybe does it a little slower, but it still gives you the protection that you need.
Okay.
All right.
Because we haven't had problems with Computer Associates until just maybe the last month or two.
They clearly changed something. I don't know what they did, but they changed something at some update that caused this, and I'm not exactly sure
how
that happened.
One of the other things I've found also with Computer Associates, like you say, it's a pretty decent product, but their timeliness in updating, there it lacks. I mean, I've had a number of folks, wind up getting infected.
Oh,
just shortly after, we've cleaned it up.
But then on the other side of that coin, I have people complain, Norton wants me to update every day. Well, that's mm-hmm. good.
Yeah.
But I don't want to update every day. Well, you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that, that's for sure. Now, do you recommend the Avast paid version as well?
Well, my suggestion always is download the free version and see what you think.
Uh-huh.
And if you're happy with it, please pay for the paid version.
Great.
Yeah, the pay version gives you a web filter for safer web surfing. It prevents you from going to known malicious websites.
Uh-huh.
And you get slightly faster updates from them as well.
Oh, okay.
And you can call for tech support. That's a lot of what the paid versions of software give you is the ability to call for support when you need help.
Prost.
Okay. I gotta say, it sounds like Nick's opening up a beer over here. Do you hear that?
I heard that.
That's what people don't understand. It's like, he's opening up, what is that, a soda?
It's an Arnold, actually. Arnold Palmer used to drink half lemonade and half iced tea. And now they actually bottle it. It's very tasty, and it is entirely non-alcoholic.
We'll just go by that because we are in a school. You know what I'm
saying? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right.
Sounds like a good one.
First today.
All right. Thanks for your help.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Betty. Yeah, like I said, don't get the impression that we're saying CA is a bad suite. It's excellent. It's just whatever update they made, it's designed to run on faster, more memory, etc. computers. And if you don't have one of those, your system slows down significantly.
Well, it's like I was saying last week. There's a lot of folks that, they get a machine and say it's only 4 or 5 years old. For the most part, the machine is still okay. But what has happened is software has been updated. It demands more. It wants more power. It wants to be able to do this. It wants to be able to do that, to do these other features.
Yeah, to these
so
days.
So the machine is still okay, but it's the demands on the software
right.
that has now put that machine, which is, like I say, still okay, no longer viable.
Yeah, right. These days, a dual 2 gigahertz computer with 2 gigs of RAM is slow, comparatively. So that's sort of what we're running into these days. And it's what we see over the years, too. You buy your computer, it's really, really, really fast. And then a couple of years later, you haven't changed anything, but now it just feels really, really, really slow.
Yeah, and it's because of the other software.
Yeah, the rest
take
of
like
the internet now.
Microsoft
the internet is
Office.
All, yeah, Office adds more and more features. The things we do on the internet have changed so drastically. Now we're watching high-definition video over the internet, and you need a much more powerful computer to do that.
Well, the graphics alone. I mean, nowadays, 256 is a starting point for most graphics.
Right.
Back in the day, if I had 16 or 32,
I had 256 megs of RAM for the whole computer, and maybe the video card was 16 megs.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Exactly.
Now basic computers come with 4 gigs of RAM and a 512 meg or even a 1 gig video card.
Mm-hmm. And at least a terabyte hard drive.
And, that's the basic machine.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody was in the forums was talking about not being able to get to the pictures. They're under presenting our movie posters, number 14. Also, there's the logo saga, of course, and Moody used to do the secretly recorded calls, which were so cool.
Oh, yes.
So those are all available off the links page, and I can get to the...
At soundbites.org.
At soundbites.org, so I can get to the movie posters fine, no problem. I'm not sure what they're not seeing, but certainly...
Yeah, it's under movie posters. It's not under pictures.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's under movie posters. So I'm not entirely sure what it is we think we're not seeing, but whatever that is.
Yeah,
here's me and Dave and Steve and Rob as ballerinas.
That's remember the Teletubbies?
That was the picture of Rob that Rob really hates.
Yeah,
he never gave us a picture he liked, so someone just found one on the internet somewhere.
right. Very funny. Very funny stuff.
I think it was his mother that gave it to us.
I'll be very honest with you. Many of you are not what I would call Photoshop geniuses, but that's not the point.
No.
That's not the point at all. It's fun. We're having fun. That's all that counts. That's all that counts. All right, I'm gonna read another news item. How do you like that? I'm going to do this. We've got about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The Federal Communications Commission said on January 6th the agency will miss the February 17th deadline by which it was required to present a national broadband plan to Congress. In asking lawmakers for a one-month delay, the FCC said it needed more time to prepare the report that is supposed to be a blueprint for bringing high-speed internet to all corners of the United States. The plan was ordered and funded by Congress as part of President Barack Obama's economic stimulus bill. Like I had to say his first name, like if I said President Obama, you wouldn't know who I was talking about. I'm an idiot. Approved by lawmakers in 2009, the FCC has held dozens of open meetings, hired outside consultants, and made the National Broadband Plan the primary policy objective under new FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski. In order to ensure that there is sufficient time to more fully brief commissioners and key members of Congress, to get additional input from stakeholders, and to fully digest the exhaustive record before the agency, the chairman has requested from congressional leaders a short extension of 4 weeks in order to deliver the plan, said Colin Crowell, senior counselor to Genachowski. According to preliminary details from the plan, the FCC is expected to recommend a restructuring of the $7 billion, that's billion with a B, Universal Service Fund, which subsidizes telephone service in high-cost areas to include broadband services. More controversially, the FCC is expected to recommend reallocating spectrum to accommodate what is expected to be an explosion in wireless services. Consumer groups have complained that the early details of the plan are lacking in policy specifications, encouraging competition among broadband providers. Republican FCC Commissioner Robert McDowell said early in the week of January 4th, it is not certain whether the plan will actually be voted on by the five commissioners or simply submitted to Congress by Genachowski. In addition, McDowell said the plan wouldn't be legally binding on Congress or the FCC. Once we receive a draft plan, I hope the document will reflect the benefit of the additional time being taken to prepare it, McDowell said in a statement. I am disappointed that the FCC's broadband team is unable to deliver a national broadband plan to Congress by the statutorily mandated deadline. I agree that it would be nice if they had done their jobs. All right. So our question to you, how do you feel about a plan to make broadband available all over America? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, for our friends in Saginaw, Texas, it's 1-800-790-0415. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, each and every one of you on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
This is your Consumer Electronics Minute. If you have one or more old electronic devices and want to dispose of them, first ask yourself, can any of my old electronics be reused or sold? Or if broken, can they be repaired? If the answers are no, then recycling your used electronics when you upgrade to the latest device is your best bet. The Consumer Electronics Association has a special website to locate a recycling facility near you. It's mygreenelectronics.org. Just enter your zip code and indicate the preferred distance to a recycling facility from your area. The result will be a map pinpointing the location of any recyclers along with their addresses and phone numbers. Print it out and you're ready to recycle. That web address again is mygreenelectronics.org. Your Consumer Electronics Minute is a public service by the station and the Consumer Electronics Association, CEA.
Hi, this is Greg Lefebvre. Join me every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for Doc's Juke Joint on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. What's that I hear? It sounds like it's that time once again. That's right, kiddies. Grab your footy jammies, put them on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Strap yourselves in. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Uncle Dave.
Oh, it was a rough year.
Was it a rough year for you?
Just getting back into it. But you know what?
What?
Nothing pisses me. Hey, Willy Wonka! Gotta tell you, I know Rob was probably tweaking because I'm yelling into the mic, but you know what? We do offer, at least at our company, you know, warranty service.
Sure.
Now, the whole thing around warranty service is that you're protected, correct?
That's the point, yes.
Yes, so that if something breaks, you know you can get it all fixed.
That's the theory, yes, absolutely.
All right, but here's the other concept that you have to get into, folks, is yes, it will be fixed, but it's not going to be tomorrow. It's going to take a few days, especially when we got to replace a motherboard, and the system is, 2 years old.
You may have to order
I don't
parts.
Have those motherboards laying around, and I've got to send them back into the company to make sure that they're going to cover it.
Right.
You know, and it takes time. So don't get porked off at me. Yes, it's going to be fixed, but is it in a super timely manner that you like? Maybe not, but it's still going to be covered.
And it also depends on what the problem is. Some things you can do immediately, but not everything.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, I had a client literally getting so porked off. Well, I thought I paid for a GD, warranty. Yes, you did, and yes, we are fixing it. But yes, it's not going to be tomorrow.
And then there may be
You have them laying around? A motherboard that's 2 years old? No!
And there may be people in line ahead of you.
Yeah,
warranty gets priority over non-warranty, but we may be working on several warranty products.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly right. We see that all the time. I get that a lot. Well, can't you do this right now? Well, no, we've got four people ahead of you. But I'm important, basically is what they're saying. But I'm important, not them.
See, now, you've got an advantage of the pecking order. Well, this is the dean's computer. You go tell him that you're more important than the dean.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
But no, I mean, it's not like I'm not sympathetic. Yes, I know, you know, it's important, but some folks, you know, got to get the latest email. Yeah, you know, and all this, I get that. But when it's, you know, I don't care whether it's a business or home or whatever. Yes, we'll send it in. I don't sit around there. Oh, gee, maybe I'll mail this out today if I feel like it or tomorrow. No, if it's something, I jump right on it. We're working on it. But I can only control my end.
There are places where you can bring your computer for warranty service, where they take it and it disappears for weeks at a time.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a machine that goes to somebody like Dave or Steve, you know where it is, you know what's being worked on, you know that you're going to get it back as soon as is humanly possible. It doesn't disappear into a black hole somewhere. And that's an advantage, but it isn't instantaneous. There's a difference between fast service and instantaneous service.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, all I ask is people be a little patient. You know, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. You know, and yes, you got the warranty. I mean, I had one client that was darn glad of it because his warranty, because our systems carry a 3-year warranty.
Right.
His system was literally 2 years, 11 months, and 15 days old. And he goes, oh, geez, now I'm going to have to go for a new system. I go, no, the motherboard's still under warranty. He goes, what? I go, you're still under the date. I called up the manufacturer. It took a few days. We got a replacement motherboard.
See?
But it doesn't happen overnight. You know, well, it's just the motherboard. There's so many different iterations and combinations
right.
of stuff.
Right.
Folks don't have a clue.
And if you don't replace it with an identical motherboard, Windows will complain and make you either reinstall or re-
Well, yeah, you're most likely going to have to do that anyways, but still in all, I mean, you know, still in all, we're not telling you, oh, no, you got to go buy a whole new system.
We had one this week that was a week out of warranty, and you know, the customer said, yeah, I meant to get here last week but didn't make it. And, well, I'm sorry.
Too bad, so sad.
We requested an exemption from the manufacturer. And
good intentions
no.
don't count. Sorry. Exactly.
Yep.
It's the, you know, this is not heaven. Good intentions don't count. All right, Kitty. Put your empty cocoa mugs. You drank that cocoa fast. Put those mugs in the sink. And get out of your footy jammies.
That caffeine fix, you know, off of the cocoa.
Exactly. And we're going to slip Uncle Dave his Mickey, and we'll be back next week with a lot more Uncle Dave. In the meantime, I think we'll probably go to the phones in just a couple of seconds. But
ever had any of the real Aztec hot cocoa, what they used to make when they first started domesticating coffee?
No.
Not coffee, cocoa beans. It's bitter, it's unprocessed, unsweetened, like
right,
a thing.
Right, right,
it's
right.
Like you eat a raw cocoa bean.
Oh, I just had my first cup of dark cocoa, dark chocolate cocoa.
Ooh.
Which I'd never had before.
You know, I leave the room and it turns from a computer show into
a cooking show.
You ever had the white chocolate? The white hot chocolate?
No.
Oh, that's really good, too.
I don't need it white hot. I just need it dark, you know, just need
it
hot.
Well, then I'll be careful with that because there's a jazz group here in Rochester.
Called the White Hots.
Called the White Hots.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, some of the players are going to be doing a live concert coming up.
Really? Where would that concert be?
Jazz 90.1, right here from the Plush Studios here at Greece Olympia High School, where student learning is the goal.
I can't tell you. I love it. We're all in. I don't know if you've ever seen this studio. We're all in Barca loungers.
Do they serve
we have cold drinks. You heard me opening
You're
my
getting a pedicure during the show.
Exactly.
Do they serve white hot dogs?
That's a very good question. They have a little theater? I'm sure they probably do.
They have it on their logo, on their website.
Really? Yeah. I went to Buffalo. This is years and years ago. I was probably 18, so it was in the 30s, I think. I went there and I said, I'd like a red hot. I didn't know. I said, I'd like a white hot. She said, a white hot what? I said, a white hot hot dog. She said, all the hot dogs are hot. No, I said, I want a white hot. As opposed to what? A red hot. You know, a Texas. What's a Texas?
Yeah.
All right, okay, all right. Here we go.
Well, we have friends that have moved away, and they ask us to ship white hots to them all the time.
Yeah.
They can't get them anywhere.
Swiggles does that.
Yeah, they do.
They ship hot dogs to people. Well, one thing I wanted to say before I leave, you know, one of the biggest things that I miss about producing your show on a weekly basis is the donuts. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
they're here. Did you have one?
I had three.
Excellent. No wonder you're so awake and happy.
You know.
Well, see, you're going to have to come in, though, next Steve. So in 3 weeks, come again. Because we're going to have some newer donuts, because Donuts Delight
is coming back
open. I mean, they're just literally, you know, 7 doors down from me. I can't wait. Of course, I moved in the neighborhood and they closed, so now they're finally open.
You got a heart problem, Dave. Remember that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Donuts Delight was always good. It's cool to see them coming back.
Yeah, it is really nice.
We should warn them, though, that they might want to go out to lunch when Dave's going to be coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Put the out to lunch sign on the door.
Or after he buys out the store, they can all go out to lunch.
Right? Yeah. No, it's, you know, it was good to come in and see donuts in the lobby. We try to stay away from that here during the week because if not, you know what I'm saying, we would all have to waddle out to the parking lot.
You don't look like me.
Oh, no, stop it. It's just one of the. And then Joelle goes out, Joelle Van Buren, she decides. decides to go out to Wegmans and bring back cookies. And,
oh, sure, yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, it's
well,
like
did
a buffet.
Any of the Christmas ones make it over to the weekend? Because, you know, for a few weeks
the Christmas ones were gone, I think, by Saturday night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Because I tried to bring some in and leave them here at the studio for you guys. I also brought in some Girl Scout cookies. I don't know how long they last between Saturday and Monday.
We have about 30 volunteer DJs that come through the place here, and these people are like human vacuum cleaners.
They're
you
locusts.
Leave anything exactly.
Yeah.
They just inhale. And the rum balls, it was funny because that Saturday night you guys brought the rum balls in. All the DJs that are normally on Saturday nights, they just sounded really, really happy. You know what I mean? Charles Benoit, who does the Smart Set on Saturday night.
I love that show.
He was broadcasting live from, I think, Wegmans in the aisle to get some Advil and some water. That's where he was doing his show.
Well, I'll just have to do a special batch next year for just for the station.
Oh, okay. Unbelievable. I had to be careful because I wanted to have a couple. That was before I went into class. And I didn't want to go into class in the morning having been like, you know, they'd be like, Mr. Linton, are you drunk? It's like, no.
The answer, oh, heck yeah.
it's good
no,
stuff.
I just had a cookie.
Yeah.
It's a sugar rush.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what it is, yeah.
Nice car, by the way.
Thank you. I
really
love
like
my new
car.
I have a Nissan Cube.
It's nice.
And I love it. It's huge. It's a TARDIS. It's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
I was going to say, it looks really huge on the inside.
Yeah, it really is.
You could, you know, host a dance in there, for crying out loud.
Well, yeah, exactly. And more importantly, you can see everything. One of the problems that I've had with a lot of cars...
Can't see.
You can't see anything anymore. And now this one, everything is wide open.
So did your wife say, okay, you can get a new car or the droid? You know what I mean? Which
yeah,
one did...
Yeah, pretty
about
much.
The same price.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
No, I can't get my droid until the... Because it's one every two. You, with Verizon,
oh,
it deals
right.
a new phone every two
new
years.
Every two, right.
I don't... It's not good for... Until like the end of July, end of August. I forget which.
Well, determine the Verizon does that on purpose. They wait until the middle of my two-year contract to come out with cool new phones.
Exactly. Me
you know
too.
I mean?
Same thing. Exactly.
And it's
I'm
just
really,
frustrating.
I'm depressed. I want my droid and I want it now.
A lot of people are getting those things.
They really are.
You know?
Yeah, there's some stories since Google is selling the new Nexus One directly to consumers. So it's like $600 for the phone, and then you activate it on the carrier you want. People are calling Google with their complaints, and Google is just completely overwhelmed and unprepared for tech support.
On the other hand, it's not like they can't afford to hire the people.
Right. Yeah. Google is taking over the world.
But did you hear the estate of Philip K. Dick is considering suing Google? Over the Nexus One brand.
And that's fairly stupid. That's a stupid one. Go ahead.
Yeah, because Nexus 6 was the name of the replicants in Blade Runner, or more accurately, do androids dream of electric sheep?
Right.
And so the Philip K. Dick's daughter is considering suing Google, and saying Google acts first and then and worries about trade names later.
Well, this is not a trade name. Nexus 6, if they called it the Nexus 6. Oh, 6, okay.
Yeah.
But the Nexus 1...
Well, that implies that five versions down the line of this phone will be the Nexus 6.
Okay, so if they do the Nexus 6, then she can sue. And by the way, did he trademark the name Nexus 6?
Copyright.
Copyright? All right,
yeah.
maybe. But that's Nexus 6, not Nexus 1.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, on the possibility that you will name your phone five versions down the Nexus 6, you really can't...
Well, just to pork them off, you could put them just the Nexus 1A, B, C.
Exactly right.
There's 26 versions.
Exactly.
You could have 27, actually.
One of the problems that right now we Verizon customers have is that Verizon doesn't do SIM cards. But that's...
Blackberries they do, don't they? Or is
the
that
Blackberry
thing?
But that's a Blackberry thing.
Okay, I gotcha.
However, the rumor is, and it apparently is a fairly solid rumor, is that coming June, July-ish, Verizon will be doing SIM cards.
It makes sense.
It's the only thing they can do. Particularly with 4G coming out. 4G,
is Verizon doing 4G?
Everybody's doing
it's
4G.
It's about time.
You can't not do 4G.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming out shortly, and it's apparently cheaper to do it on a SIM card. Right and put the radio in and let the SIM card handle it in the phone than to do it on their own like they've been doing it.
Well, what's the one? Matter of fact, it's Verizon now has the projector that you can add to the phone.
Yeah,
the
LG. That's the LG phone and projector.
Well, you know, the thing I like about you, of course, now everyone's getting a BlackBerry. I mean, the only problem with the BlackBerries is you are truly connected, and good luck getting away from it. But
why they call them crackberries.
Exactly. The thing that's kind of a drawback of the BlackBerries, for Verizon at least, is the fact that you'll be on a phone call, talking on your Bluetooth, but you cannot go on the web. You cannot, you know what I mean? It's almost like you can't...
You can't,
that's a function of the CDMA, and what... we think is happening with some of the droids is that it has Wi-Fi and a cell on it.
Right.
So if you're in a Wi-Fi area, you can get data on Wi-Fi and talk on the cell. So check with your friend to make sure he's doing both on the cell service.
That I don't know, but I have watched my friend do both. Three things at once. He's listening to music, a phone call comes in, and he can still hear the music in the background if he wants to, and he's on the web. And mm-hmm. so I don't know where the problem lies with that. But that's all going to go away. Whatever happens is all going to go away with 4G, which everybody wants to get in.
The bad thing about my BlackBerry is the fact that I downloaded a music player on it. Of course, I can listen to the Jazz 90.1 web stream wherever I am. And
exactly.
That's bad. I need to get away from work on vacation. You know, but
then get rid of the BlackBerry. Get yourself a regular old cell phone.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, it's funny. We had a person call up a couple of years ago that became a member that was in Florida. He'd go out on a golf course, have his Bluetooth, and be listening to Jazz 90.1. If a call came in, it would pause our stream. Not stop it. Pause it. Build it up in some sort of a buffer, apparently. So when the call was over, it would start up where it left off.
How flipping cool is that?
You know, he's listing all this stuff off, and it's just like, wow, how neat. You know what I mean? So,
what phone did he have?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. It was a couple of years ago. I think it was, you know, probably top of the line at the time.
Yeah,
I
right.
assume. But
right.
One thing I want to mention before I leave really quick, and then I'll give Dave back the mic. Sorry about that, Dave. You should never give me the microphone because I have
issues.
So they
don't talk enough during the week.
One thing I want to mention, you know, we're still trying to get the word out, and I know you guys talk about it. We're trying to get the word out about sound bites. So what we want to ask all the listeners right now is, you know, if you have a Facebook, if you have a MySpace, if you have a website or something, promote the fact that Sound Bites has moved here.
We have a fan page on Facebook, so you can become a fan.
Right.
And put that right on your page and let everybody know about Soundbites.
Mm-hmm.
You can also go to the Soundbites website and you can see our Facebook mm-hmm. widget where you can see all the people who are our fans.
Yeah, I mean the thing about it is a lot of people thought on the other station that we just quit, just left. You know, and that's, you know, it's one of those things that in radio, you don't have a chance to say goodbye and that you're leaving. You know, that's one of the drawbacks of radio. So a lot of people are just like, well, Soundbites just disappeared. I run into people on a weekly basis wait, they're on your station?
And I even have a poster now set up in the shop. As mm-hmm. they come out, they look to the right. There's a huge poster along with there that says, you know, Soundbites on Jazz 90.1.
Mm-hmm.
And folks will still be, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed you guys when you were on Sunday. When are you coming back at?
Yeah, exactly.
And I point to the poster.
Right.
How long have you been there?
Right.
And you tell them, it's like, darn. And they're writing it down. So, you know, it's, you know, just getting them to remember.
I still run into people that missed us the first time we changed stations.
Right. Right, and that's the thing, you know.
But I still get people that say, I watch your TV show all the time.
Yeah, I get that a lot,
we haven't done one in how long?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing that's
I still do on Rochester on
I went
Wyman
looking for
on
that.
Demand.
It's on channel 118 or something.
108.
Like that.
That's what that was. I woke up and I was having
you.
A nightmare.
Yeah, it's frightening. Isn't
somehow
it?
My on demand started up on the channel. You know, anyway.
And there you were.
No. Well, one thing you know, it's kind of funny is you think you know it's like a computer show. Google Sound Bites and you'd be able to tell where it is. But a lot of people simply don't think of doing that. Don't
right.
think of Googling or going to the Soundbites website or just like listening to the show for the conversation and believe it or not, may not have a computer.
That's exactly right.
You know, and that's the thing.
People do that all day. I see people all the time say, I don't even own a computer, but I love listening
right.
to the show.
Exactly.
So, folks, if you're listening in, you need to tell, each of you needs to tell five friends. And I don't mean just five people who don't listen to the show.
Right.
So each of you tell them they need to listen and enjoy our stuff.
Did you see the Wikipedia on Soundbites?
There's a Wikipedia on Soundbites.
Wow. Somebody did up Wikipedia on Soundbites.
That's cool.
Well, I just looked up the Wikipedia on White Hots, and there's a nice big mm-hmm. article on it, popularized in Rochester, New York, and Zweigels is the main producer, and it's interesting, all the things on Wikipedia.
You guys, of course, I was in the office when you were talking about those movie posters. Those movie posters were a lot of fun, and I always talk, you know, tell people about it because for the longest time, back when I was student teaching, I had students that actually went and found the Teletubbies one, and for a gag gift at the end of my student teaching experience, they gave me a green, I forget which Teletubby it is, but
yeah.
they gave me the green one, and those were a lot of fun.
Those were fun. We had a great time with those.
It was a good time, and it's hard to believe that, you know, when Dave sent me the information about Lolly, it's like, holy cow, you know?
Yeah, no
that,
kidding.
That
really,
happened,
really
so.
Sad.
But the cool part about it is all that stuff's still up on the website. And
she's still on the website, and one of her requests was that in her name, people contribute to Jazz 90.1. And that was...
I thought that was really, really, really neat.
She was, without
a
doubt,
an
absolutely sweet human being. and we will all miss her. All right, we're going to take another break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, probably not Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno, inviting you to a musical party this and every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. Our guests may include Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, or who knows, maybe even Count Basie or Joe Williams, Bobby Darin. Lady Ella herself could stop by. It's a musical celebration every week on the Sunday Music Festa and the Otto Show. That's Sundays at 12 noon right here on Jazz 90.1.
People are keeping their teeth longer than ever before. That means everyone, including senior citizens, need to practice good oral hygiene for their teeth and their health. Seniors need to be aware of signs of periodontal disease, like receding or swollen gums. During dental checkups, your dentist will check for any signs of oral cancer, such as discoloration or swelling on your throat, lips, or tongue. Early detection of cancer can mean a much better chance for a full recovery. Eat a balanced diet. Brush twice daily with a fluoride toothpaste and floss, or use an interdental cleaner daily. Consider quitting the use of tobacco. Tobacco usage is associated with an increased risk of oral cancer, periodontal disease, and other oral health conditions. Regular dental maintenance can help keep you and your smile healthy and young-looking. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3 p.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, just before we go back to the phones, I know we got people waiting, I just want to remind you that Microsoft Monthly Visitor is coming this week. There will be a critical fix for Windows 2000 users, low fix for others. There's a bunch of stuff in this thing, a server message block, the SMB protocol vulnerability, however, that Microsoft warned users about in November is not going to be fixed this week. I just wanted folks to know that before we moved on to the phones. Our next
still
caller,
updating 2000?
Yeah.
Wow.
Our next caller is Dan. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Yes, I have a question in regards to saving my homepage gadgets on Google.
Yep.
I got Windows 7 64-bit.
Yep.
And every time I go to save it in the homepage and I log back on, it doesn't save the changes.
Right. One of the things you have to do is make sure you have cookies enabled for Google.
Okay.
If you do, 'cause it saves all that information in the cookie.
Okay.
So if you don't have the cookie enabled, you won't have those things.
Okay.
You also have to make sure you're logged into Google. For the Google homepage, in order to make sure those are saved, you have to be logged in.
Okay, now I have it also on Windows XP, and I don't have to do that with XP.
Well, under XP, my assumption is that it's already saving the cookie.
Okay.
So make sure that you have cookies enabled for the Google page.
Okay, and then the second question is the Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Is that a good browser?
I'll tell you what, I'm using it right now, and I really like it. It's a little different. There are a couple of changes that make me a little crazy right now until I get used to them. But it's an excellent browser. It's smaller. It's faster. And there are things I really, really like about it. It certainly is worth a try.
Okay. All right, and other than listening to you on the computer, I'm in Henrietta. How else can I get to you or listen to you?
Well, we're on Jazz 90.1 FM. So if you can get the signal, and it depends on where you are as to whether or not you'll get the signal, you can listen to us live or, of course, on the stream. And now you're going to go out and tell five people who don't know about us, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. That's what I like to hear.
And then you can always download the show from the website and listen to it later as well.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
All righty. I think we have plenty of time for another caller here. Dave is frantically working at getting that person on. Unfortunately, because he's running the board and talking with us and answering the phones, he's our triple threat man. Our next caller is possibly Judy. Is it Judy?
It's me.
Hi, Judy. What's your question?
Okay. For those of us who are not as savvy in terminology, I'd like to know if there's a place I can go and learn all about this stuff, like what is a hard drive and this and that. For example, if there's a manual, or is there a website on
the best place I would recommend that has beginner, what you're looking for is beginner courses. Check out the JCC. The JCC has a whole entourage of programs, whether it's just basic word processing, spreadsheets, even to just basic computing.
Mm.
And also, now, where are you located?
I'm in Hilton.
Hilton, you might want to also check with the school district out there to see if they have any continuing education, if you check with the town there. But like I say, I know the JCC does quite a bit.
I see. So there's like not a manual or something for beginners.
Well, there's a lot of books you can buy, yeah.
Well, the dummy
series.
Right, maybe.
Yeah, there's a dummy series. There's the missing manual series. There's the idiot's guide series. There's a lot of different book series that you can get on basic computers, on specific programs as well.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also local users groups, although from Hilton that's going to be a bit of a drive. The PC users group meets typically in Brighton, and the Mac users group meets downtown at the edge of downtown at East High School, corner of Main and Culver.
Yeah.
But then on the internet itself, there's a really good computer glossary at whatis.com.
Hey, there you go.
Yep.
It's whatis.
Whatis.com. Yep.
There's also one at sharpened.net/glossary. Sharpened as in I sharpened my scissors.
Uh huh. Let me write this down. Sharpened what?
.net/glossary.
Glossary. Good. That's great. That's great. And what's your take on these things that come and say, and no, go to this website and you can fix your PC?
Never.
There are so many fake ones that are designed to steal your credit card information and steal your identity and then infect you more.
Oh, boy.
That it's the ones that are legitimate are just overwhelmed by the fake ones and...
If you want a good antivirus program, Avast is good. I've been playing around with Panda.
Okay.
PandaSoft. I think it's... Hold on, I better look that up.
Oh, that's all right.
And then AVG is another free good antivirus program.
See, now I
program,
have the
yeah.
CA from Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not bad.
It's an excellent product, but as we've been saying, it slows down people's machines if they don't have a very high-end machine.
Yeah. What's a high-end machine?
Well, you know, more than 2 gig of RAM, faster than 1.5 gigahertz.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of fair. But pandasecurity.com has a free suite that actually does run over the net, but we know it's safe. I've been playing with it in a virtual machine under my Linux box at work. It's pretty nice.
It's Panda what?
Pandasecurity.com. Also, of course, AVG.
AVG.
And
Avast.
At Avast.com.
AVAST?
Yeah. As in, walk the planks, me hearty.
All right. So if I want to go to one of those, what happens to my CA?
Well, you can uninstall your CA.
Ah!
Yep.
You can completely uninstall it and remove it entirely, but make sure you don't want to be vulnerable any longer than you can be.
Yeah.
So download...
Put the other one up before you take this off.
Well, don't get it up, but get it downloaded.
Yeah, get it downloaded and on your machine ready to install.
Okay. Now, with AVG and Avast and in fact, with Panda... Be very careful which one you download, because they will try to lead you to the pay one.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, we encourage people to pay for these things all the
right.
time, but, you should try the free one first.
And so all three of these are free?
They are free. They have free versions.
Free versions, okay.
But we encourage people to pay for them once they realize how much they like them. But you can, you know, make sure if you're going to try the free version, be very careful which one you download, because, understandably, they're going to lead you more easily to the pay version.
Yeah.
Right? So be very careful which one you download and install it, either AVG or Avast. I like Avast a little better.
Do you?
Avast has one interesting feature, which is every time it updates, it tells me it's updated.
Oh.
In
virus database has been updated. And when that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah, I know it. When that happens at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting alone in my in my room, it gets a little scary. Suddenly, somebody's talking to me.
So that's AVAST.
Yep. Oh, AVAST.
No. Oh, ST.
Yep. Avast.
Avast,
me hearties.
Give it
now,
a shot.
Last week, I heard somebody mention that you all three of them have different shops.
Yeah. No, two of us have different shops.
Okay. Well, where are they?
I'm Enright PC at 70 Empire Boulevard.
Okay.
And I'm Mac Ave, 7716 Victor Menden Road.
And I don't have a store, and I don't do that stuff.
That's too far for me.
We do have some clients in Hilton. It's a nice drive in the summer.
Yeah.
And what's the name of the one on Empire?
It's Enright PC. We're at 70 Empire Boulevard, about a half mile up from Dan's Crafts before Culver Road.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, that's good.
All right. Kitty
all
corner
well,
from Saint.
Have a good year.
All right,
same
you too. Have
you.
Fun. All right, do we actually have somebody else on the line. We've got about 6-7 minutes, so we probably should be able to get to them. It's getting toward the end of the show, but I think we can handle this. Our next caller is Rich. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Hi, guys. I got a Windows 7 question about installing. You guys have said to buy the full version, write over everything I've got on my computer, and do a install. I also have looked, and I use Norton Antivirus, and they have a fix to be able to use Windows 7. Am I going to be pretty safe with then loading my antivirus and being able to go, we'll say, right out and then get updates for the Norton and stuff without getting attacked real quick?
Well, there's never, ever a point when you should be on the Internet without without protection. But I've said many times, I put a brand new machine on the Internet, that IP address had never been used before. The very first entry in the log was somebody trying to break in. But
that's
if you
what
do,
I'm kind of a little bit worried about getting that on and getting the
right. Disconnect
getting my zone alarm I use as a firewall.
Yeah, disconnect yourself.
Getting that on too also.
Yep, disconnect yourself from the Internet when you're doing these installs. So install Windows, install Norton, then connect to the Internet and start doing your updates.
Right. One thing you should do is download all of these programs, stick them on either a CD or a USB stick so that you have the downloads ready to install once you're done installing Windows.
I see. But now the fix for, we'll say, Norton, though, I'll have to go get for it to use with Windows 7. Would I still be able to install it on there without having that, you know, update to use it?
Well, you should be able to, sure.
Okay.
I mean, if you install Norton itself, the first thing it'll do is go out and update itself.
Right. I have the disk for Norton, of course.
Right. And so that should work.
Which version of Norton do you have?
Well, last year's, 2009.
Because that sometimes may be an issue. The disk you have may not be compatible, and you have to download an update first.
Right. That's what I was thinking. I didn't know if that was a problem.
Right. Yeah, download the update first, and then disconnect from the Internet and do your Windows install and load the update.
There you go.
Oh, okay. I see. I can do it that way then.
Yep, that's the idea.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Great
thank
show.
You, Rich. Thank you. We are done for another week. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. Apologize to all of you to whom we did not get. Next week, you'll have to call earlier and more often. Remember, you're going to tell 5 friends who don't listen to Sound Bites about our show. And we will be right back here next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites. We are right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.